Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Well, if we don't have the armor of God on, we're not going to be able to stand firm. That's number one. And let me just say this about that. The armor of God is not equipment. It's character. When you look at it, they're all character traits. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against the world forces of this darkness, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up. It doesn't say, hey, pray and ask God to do this. It says, take it up. You do it. You put it on. You take it up. So that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, stand firm. Having put all of these on and done everything, hold your ground. Before you can take ground, we've got to be able to hold our ground. When you look at it in a warfare battle scene, the enemy goes in and takes ground, and then they launch their offensive. It can happen like that. But they've got to be able to take some ground where they can launch their offensive. And after doing everything, stand firm. See, we've got to understand that we have a part. You know, we're in a covenant with God, and God has already done his covenantal part. And we have also covenant responsibilities. If we want to walk in life, and we want to walk in everything that God has given us. So after doing everything, let's go back to Genesis chapter 3. That's right. You take it and then you hold it. And then you start taking more. And then you possess the land. Praise the Lord. I want to go back to these two trees for just a moment, the two trees that are still in the garden. And we still have these two trees that we can eat from. Now, eating, when we eat, it's a metaphor for ingesting the qualities of what that food is that will produce a particular outcome. Eating is a metaphor for ingesting the qualities of whatever you're eating that will produce a particular life. And God's placed the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden. Now, what is the tree of life? Simply, it is Christ Jesus. The Bible says Jesus is the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but by me. The Bible says that he is the bread of life. That his flesh is true bread. His blood is true drink. The tree of life is eating from really the Lord himself and living because you're ingesting what God's word, God, what God says, God's ways, God's life. Those qualities go down into us and actually produce a Christ-like lifestyle. To live the quality of life that God has already prepared for us to live. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil basically is everything that contradicts God's word. The knowledge of good and evil, it's an experiential knowledge. What God was saving us from was there's evil because Satan is living on the earth. But I don't want you to experience that evil. And when Adam and Eve, and he even told Adam, he said, when you eat, and I'm paraphrasing, you're going to experience the evil that I want to save you from. But for God, I mean, for us to be faithful and for us to love God without being forced, we have to have an option. He was faithful to give us options. He's faithful to give us options now. I put before you death and life. Choose life. But it's our choice. It's our option. So the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is experiential, experiencing evil. You're going to die. You're going to experience death. You're going to experience separation from me. You're going to experience the result of that curse that is operating out there. But if you continue to eat from the tree of life, and actually you can eat from any other tree but that one, the knowledge of good and evil, then you will stay in a place of life and where there's communion with me, everything that you need. Matter of fact, remember, when they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he couldn't even stay in the garden any longer. They had to be removed from that area, from that place of rest, that promised land where God has created for them and stationed with angels to keep them from ever entering it again. So there's two trees in our garden. Jesus came to reverse all of that, but he still, even if we become born again, we become Christians, we still have a choice of what tree we're going to eat from. We can eat from the tree of life and experience life because we're eating all of the qualities and ingesting it into our being, and it's producing the type of fruit in our life that it was designed by God to produce. But if we eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, then we're also ingesting the qualities of the fruit from that tree, which is death and the curse and death. And it's producing in our life that result. Even though we're Christians, we're born again, filled with the Spirit of God. The tree you eat from will determine the outcome that's produced in your life. Eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil causes blindness, deception to truth, and reality. And as we saw with Adam and Eve, when they ate from that tree, they got fear. They were afraid of God now. Before, they were not afraid. They had open communion and deep spiritual connection with the Lord. They ate from the tree and they got afraid of God. Fear entered their life. What was some of the other things? Guilt. They now are experiencing guilt because of what they did, which God was trying to save them from, ever experiencing those things. What was something else? Shame. Before they were naked and there was no shame. Now it's shameful. So they were all, as soon as that happened, fear penetrated their souls. Guilt penetrated their souls. Shame penetrated their souls. And as a result, what did they begin to do? Blame one another. It's your fault. No, it's your fault. No, it's your fault, God's fault, the devil's fault. See, when these things are operating in our lives and when we're always trying to place blame, we're under fear and guilt and shame and all of these things, that should be a clear sign to us we are eating from the wrong tree. We're eating from the wrong tree. And it's producing these things on the inside of us. There's two lifestyles. The tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is motivated by self and selfish desires. It's living by feelings and emotions. With a tree of life is unconditional love by God, and our motivation is nothing but love. There's two laws. Romans chapter 8 speaks to this. There's the law of sin and death with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus. There's still two laws. We shouldn't be afraid of law. Law is a good word. Law protects and provides. That's what law does. Law can also kill. There's two authorities, the Lord Jesus Christ or Satan disguised as self. Hello. Satan disguised as self. Here's some more things. And maybe I'll end with this. I don't know. that when you're eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that will actually operate in your life. And you know, these things happen, and most of the time we're not even aware of it. We're not. And that's one of the purposes of today, is to make us aware. It resorts to running, hiding, covering up, lying, blaming, and playing the victim. And that's what the domain of darkness is about. It uses fear and causes people to focus on the past and dread the future. It opens the door for accusation and condemnation. It finds fault, places blame, and demands punishment when possible. Guilt produces a victim mentality, entices one to hide parts of their lives to cover failure and avoid accepting responsibility. Victims are under guilt, and it causes them to make promises they cannot keep. A victim mentality establishes its own standard of godliness. Because of guilt, a sense of failure begins to define the way we view ourselves, our relationship with the Lord and others, and causing a loss of joy and peace that only Jesus can provide. When we eat from the tree of life, this is just a few things, it's not, you know, complete. We face the problem, we confess, we speak truth, we assume personal responsibility. We experience freedom and liberty, healing and wholeness, a clear conscience, which is worth a weight in gold, hope, faith, and love. Obedient living results in enjoying the emotions God has given us. A result is growth in Christ-likeness. I mentioned this before, but our soul, which is our mind, our will, and emotion, records events in our life, both negative and positive, both good and both bad. You ever been minding your own business one day and all of a sudden a flash of a picture in your mind from maybe when you were a child just comes to mind? Or maybe something comes up and all of a sudden your mind plays the DVD of the voice of your dad, or a voice of a teacher, or a coach. Maybe it's a voice of failure. You will never get that. You will never be able to succeed. Maybe it's one that really encouraged and inspired you. A word from a coach or a parent or maybe even a friend or that just came to you. Does that happen? That happens to me on occasion. Just psh. Because our soul records these events. They don't only record the events, they record the reactions to the events. And we know, we can't change the event of yesterday. What happened this morning, what happened yesterday, what happened 15, 20, 40 years ago, we can't change that event. It's in the past. But what we can change is the way we're still reacting because of that event. That's what can change. Because events, both good and bad, but let's just talk about the negative events, the tragedies or the hurtful times or wounding, times of wounding and rejection and those kinds of things. When those things happen, we have responded, whether we are a child, a teenager, or it just happened yesterday, we've responded a certain way to that event. And our souls recorded that. That's why it's so, you know, when things that even come close. I remember, I think I mentioned this, and this bothered me for years. I would see somebody for the very first time, wouldn't know them, but just because of the way they looked, I didn't like them. I heard their voice, and the way they talked reminded me of somebody that actually hurt me in the past, and I didn't like that individual. And what I really didn't like was my response to that individual I didn't even know. But my response was a recorded reaction that I had way back when that person that looked like the person that hurt me or sounded like him. Did you know what I'm talking about? Has that ever happened to any of you? And I didn't understand that for a long time, and I wondered why it happened. Until the Lord really showed me that. They remind you of this person that hurt you. They remind you of your dad when he said that, and it wounded you. Did that. Remember when that coach did this back when you were playing football, and he said that? Those are the times, guys, that the Lord brings those to mind, and he gives us perfect opportunity to deal with it right there. Because that's a stronghold. It's a stronghold. You ever been told by somebody you're acting just like your father? You act just like your mom? You're acting just like your brother? You're acting just like your sister? Now, if your sister is a godly person and has done everything right, that could be a real, praise the Lord. But usually, that's a very negative connotation, right? Because it's usually the other person that's done something very negative. And it brings a wounding to your soul. And the way we respond or react to those wounds, that's what can change. You ever just be going along and you just wonder sometimes why you react to certain situations the way you do? You know it's not right, you know it's not godly, but you're just, I don't know why I react that way. I would just challenge you to think that it's probably from a recorded soulish event that happened and a recorded reaction to that. An event just like it, very similar, or maybe exactly like it, that the Lord wants us to deal with. That the Lord wants to bring healing and wholeness. You ever have anything that's really happened very negative in your life, and maybe it's bothered you for some time, but you really receive forgiveness and cleansing from the Lord, and you're able to stand up in front of people or anybody, and even though just before that cleansing it was embarrassing, it was hurtful, but you're able to with now be able to talk about what happened to you or what you did or what, and it not have that same effect on you any longer? Has that ever happened to you? It's happened to me. It's happened to me many times, and I'm sure it's happened to you many times. Why? Because you've received the cleansing of God's love, forgiveness, and wholeness. You are able to release that person that wounded you or hurt you or affected you, and that will change the way you react and respond because of those recorded events. Amen? Does that make sense? Again, Psalm 23 and Psalm 19:7 both talk about restoring the soul. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. To restore means to bring back. Bring back to the point of God, or God's original creation in wholeness. I just want to take a moment before we all leave today. That if at some time there's the Lord has just spoken to you, maybe there are some things, there's some patterns, there's some thought patterns or belief systems. And maybe the Lord just reminded you or brought something to your heart, or maybe there's some wounding from the past and the Holy Spirit just moved and just showed you something in your heart. Have the courage today to deal with it once and for all. Maybe it's something you did. There's nothing more really embarrassing than stuff that we've done. We just don't want anybody to know about it. We're embarrassed to even talk to God about it, but he knows it. And we know he knows it, but just talking about it's embarrassing. To God, I mean. Not even to anybody else. But that we would just deal with that. We bring it out. We say, God, thank you for reminding me of this. And whether it's forgiveness or we need to forgive somebody or repent or maybe he just shows, hey, you got a way of thinking here, and it's taken you down a path that has really contradicted my truth. Would you allow him to bring you back, to restore your mind to right thinking on the Word of God and bring you back to it? Would you allow him to do that? Oh, Holy Spirit, come now, Lord, God, I just thank you so much for your work in us, that you restore